Okay, if you got your Bibles, let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. We read this verse last time. We spent about 30 minutes talking about its truth, or some of it. And so we're going to go right back to verse 4 today, verse 4 and verse 6. But Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. We have joy in our soul despite our outward circumstances because of the things which the Lord our God has done for us, is doing for us, and will ever continue to do for us. Well, again, in addition to this fourth verse, when we take a look at verse number 6, where the Bible says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Okay, now, there are reasons, biblical reasons, why we should give thanks to God. There are biblical reasons why we should be a joyful people. And so let's look at some of these reasons to thank God. First of all, I'll go to an Old Testament passage, Isaiah chapter 51, and go ahead and get Jeremiah 32 while you're going to the Old Testament. Isaiah 51 and Jeremiah 30. Here's a good reason for thanksgiving. How about peace? How about peace? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 51, verse number 3, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Okay, and similarly, in Jeremiah 30, verse 18, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry." Now, in these verses, God, I don't know if you noticed, but God is turning the captivity of his people, the nation of Israel. He's restoring them to their land in safety. But you could place as a general heading over this idea that war is over and peace has come. Now, many in this modern generation today don't know much about this concept and wouldn't understand it like our fathers and our grandfathers did. But many people around this world would be incredibly thankful to God if the wars would be over, if the bullets would stop flying, if the bombs would stop falling, if the strife that was costing the lives of countless souls would come to a halt. They would certainly be thankful to God. I guarantee you, when what was known as the Second World War in the Western world, I guarantee you when that battling and fighting and killing was over, when the Japanese finally said, we're done fighting, and the boys went home to America, when Germany was finally subdued and the European nations finally knew a measure of peace, it was a happy day for the nations of the world. Some of you may remember watching the news as a child, as the newscaster would nightly give the mythical death count and the mythical wounded count and how many Viet Cong were slaughtered today and how many American soldiers died today. Well, let me tell you something. When that thing was over, I don't care if you were a hawk or a dove, when that thing was over, it was better to have peace than it was to have war. No one would argue that. And now, you know, around this world, you got killing at the hand of Islam, you know, bombings and terror attacks. We had throat cuttings and all the rest of that stuff. When all of that stuff is over, It'll be a happy day for the world, and men will give thanks to God when peace reigns on this earth. Now, peace is better than war. Calm is better than unrest. And when God brings peace in the place of war, when God brings calm in the place of trouble, men give thanks to God, and rightly so. All right, here's another reason why we should give thanks to the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Now, the bounty of God and the blessings of God, they do not cause everyone to give thanks to God because, well, you know, I talked about this a little bit last time. Some people believe that they're just lucky. Well, that's blasphemy. Some people believe that they're just fortunate. That's blasphemy. Some people believe that their government is their savior and their provider and their God. But those of us that are born again and saved, when we are enriched, the result is that we give thanks to God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. God has taken our lives, and he has certainly enriched them. He's made them better. He's done so by his bounty. That is the riches of God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's love, God's goodness. Out of the storehouses of his treasures, he has poured out upon us blessing after blessing after blessing. And because of that, we give thanks to God. When I look at my life and I realize how it has been enriched by God, then in turn, I give thanks to God for those blessings. I tell you, we ought to just take the time to consider how wonderfully God has bestowed his bounty upon us. And then we should pause and give him thanks. Take no credit to ourselves. Never consider ourselves worthy or deserving. But shouldn't we give thanks, give God thanks for his blessings on our lives? I think we should. All right, what could be another reason for giving thanks to God? How about in Colossians chapter 2? Colossians chapter number 2. And verse number 6, the Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Do you know what people rarely thank God for? The people who have taught us the truths of biblical Christianity, the people who have taught us how to live the Christian life. It may be the minister, the Sunday school teacher, and it's always by God's word. It may be brothers and sisters with whom we fellowship by example, and by deed. It may be godly parents. It may be Christian godparents or grandparents, rather. But friends, you did not evolve into Christianity, and you didn't suddenly wake up one day knowing the Bible all by your little self, knowing how to live a life that is pleasing to God without any instruction or guidance. From the very beginning, when Jesus Christ taught his disciples, from the very beginning when he sent them out to teach all nations, from that day to this, men that know the Lord have taught other men how to know the Lord. And men that have walked with God have taught other men how to walk with God. And men that know the Bible have taught other men the Bible. And we should be thankful to God for the blessing of having godly men and godly women in many, many different ways to teach us biblical truth so that we might more fully enjoy the experience, enjoy and experience this life, abundant life in Jesus Christ. And here's another thing to be thankful for. And if you ever do without this for even a little while, you'll really appreciate it. And that is food. Food. I'm amazed at how many people eat like dogs. Oh, they might sit at a table, and a dog doesn't do that. They might use a knife and a fork and a spoon, and a dog doesn't. They may use a napkin to wipe their hands and their mouth. But I've noticed that when you put food in front of a dog, it does not pause to thank God. It just starts eating. I've noticed when you put food in front of a pig, it doesn't lift up its heart to heaven and thank God. It just starts eating. I've noticed that a lot of men, a lot of women, a lot of boys, a lot of girls, they just eat like animals, never pausing for a moment to tell God how much they appreciate his provision for them. We'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 3. The Bible says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, you can say I'm old-fashioned if you want to. I say it's Bible. I don't want to put a bite of food into my mouth without bowing my head and thanking God that I'm not starving to death. And there are millions of people who have crossed this earth who lived and died without ever enjoying sufficient food. There's people today who honestly do not know from one day to the next whether or not they're going to have sufficient food for themselves and for their families. Famine could strike your nation today. Pestilence could wipe out your crops tomorrow. A political upheaval could take away your comfortable, well-fed, easy life before this week is out. And then we would pray. And then we would call on God. I tell you, it's a remarkable thing how a hungry man can beg God for food, but how difficult it seems for a full man to thank God that he's not a hungry man. Would you not at least admit to me tonight, would you not at least agree with me tonight that we owe a debt of gratitude to Almighty God for his daily provision for our temporal lives, and that we would do well to not take food and drink and a roof over our heads and clothing on our back for granted, but that we would own these things as wonderful blessings from a gracious God and give him thanks and give him the thanks and the praise that he so deserves. Amen. Okay, maybe this next one is obvious. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But what about heaven? What about heaven? I want to thank God for peace. I want to thank God for enriching our lives. I want to thank God for good teaching. I want to thank God for food. But someday we will thank God for heaven, to be home, safe and sound. What a thought. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. You know what we're going to do in heaven? Among other things, we are going to give thanks to God. When you consider where you could be and then consider where you are going to give thanks to God. When you consider that you are not being tormented, but that you are knowing joy, when you consider that you are not in outer darkness, but are in that place where the Lamb is the light, when you consider that you're not burning, but that you are singing, when you consider that you're not among the devil and his angels, but you're with the Lord and his saints, you will give thanks to God. When you fully realize the price that Jesus Christ paid to make eternal life possible for you, you will give thanks. When you come to see your Savior face to face, when you enter into the reality of the fullness of his love, you will give thanks. Heaven will not be a place of boasting. It'll be a place of praising. It'll not be a place of complaining, but a place of thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, but I sure am looking forward to that. Now, sin is the result of an unthankful heart. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, you know, verses 29 to 31, that's a list of horrible sins that fallen men commit against God and against man. But people don't start out that way. Romans 1, verse 24 says, God also gave them up. Verse 26 says, God gave them up. Verse number 28 says, God gave them over. When something goes horribly wrong in the relationship between the creature and the creator, all this dreadful sin results. And the sins, they're not the problem. The sins are just the results of the problem. You want to see what the problem is? Look back at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that, okay, so that means here's the cause for which God gave them up, the cause for all the sins, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You know, when a man falls into the depths of habitual sin, when he ceases to give thanks to God, sin is a result of an unthankful heart. That's why the Lord said, when you get the people together, thank God. Lead them in thanks to God. Teach them to give thanks to God. Sing thanks unto God. Be occupied with thanks to God. It is the great preventative medicine that will keep you from a multitude of sins. Now consider Jonah. And go ahead and go there to the book of Jonah. Look at Jonah. I said last time, and I showed you from the Bible, that sacrifices in the Old Testament were a result of God doing for a man or giving to a man. Okay? They were not the means by which they bought God's favor. The people bought God's favor. No, they were expressions of thanksgiving. Okay? Those sacrifices, thanksgiving to a God who had bestowed favor upon them. Now, okay, look in Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 7. Jonah, he's swallowed up by a great fish, and Jesus said it was a whale. So it's Jonah and the great whale fish. Matthew 12:40, Jesus called it the great fish a whale. And so Jonah, he's in the belly of this fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God from the fish's belly, crying, by reason of mine affliction unto my Lord, or unto the Lord. Verse 4, Jonah chapter 2, verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Okay, so he's in the whale's belly. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Okay, now, we're not done yet, but let me ask you something. Jonah, down in the depths of the deep blue sea, Jonah in the belly of the whale, okay, there he is. What animal can he possibly burn in that situation that he's in? What meal offering can he bring? He cannot come to God by way of Levitical sacrifice. It's impossible for him. So look at verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited up out Jonah upon the dry land. Do you know what God said? What if you don't have an animal? What if you don't have a lamb? What if you don't, all you've got is two mites? The Lord said, no, the sacrifice I'm looking for is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's Psalm 51. The only sacrifice that Jonah offered was thanksgiving to God with his lips. And God said, that'll do. That's good enough. And out he came. Why? Salvation is of the Lord. God doesn't need 100 kilos of beef or 25 kilos of lamb. He wants your heart. You can bring every animal in the zoo and not give God your heart, and he's not having you. But if you give him your heart, give him your heart, you will see that salvation is of the Lord. He's a good God. Now, all these verses we've read, including those in the Psalms and so forth from last week, they're all about the voice of thanksgiving being used as a sacrifice to God. Don't you think it would please the Lord if we spent more time just saying thank you? If we became occupied with thanking God instead of asking for things, if we would do that, I'm persuaded that we would know a greater measure of joy in our lives. Instead of just checking in when we need something, you know, I didn't pray much today because I didn't need much. Well, what if we just spent time thanking God? You know, if you come to me and tell me you're depressed and you're down, I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell everyone. If you'll go home, get in a quiet place, and just start thanking God for everything you can think of to thank him for, you will not stay depressed. You will not stay down. See, we get down because we're occupied with what we don't have. Thanksgiving will get you occupied with what you do have. And that, my friend, is going to change everything. And so what the Lord wants, what the Lord desires, is that you and I know the full joy and the complete rejoicing that is possible to us in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as we live our life yielded to his control. And yielded to his control means, obviously, that we can thank him for everything because we know he loves us. We know his way is best. We know that he has no intent whatsoever to harm his own. And so we rejoice in the Lord always, and then we repeat it. Again, I say, rejoice. Why? God is good. He's always good. He's never anything but good. He never, never ceases to bestow his blessings upon us. And so, friends, would you please become more occupied with what God has already done for you than with what you would like him to do next? Would you begin to replace fear with thanksgiving? Replace doubt with thanksgiving? Unhappiness with thanksgiving? Sorrow with thanksgiving? Would you make a determined effort to be thankful and see if you will not find yourself rejoicing in the Lord for all the great things that he's done for you? I think you ought to try it. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you, especially for your word, Lord, and for your Holy Spirit who's in us. We thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be more thankful in our communications with you, to stop being so concerned about what we want from you, but to just try and always be thoughtful and remembering many things that you have already done for us and have promised us that we have to look forward to. Lord, we pray now that you'll help us as we look at our prayer list and help us to look for things there that we might be thankful for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.